Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. Pro football fans in Wisconsin might be going through withdrawal this weekend. The Green Bay Packers have this week off and don't return to action until next Sunday night against Denver.
That means they are assured of spending another week as one of the NFL's undefeated teams. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Bucks prepare to open their basketball season next week. Howie Magner helps us keep track of sports every month, and he's with us in the studio. Welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Mitch.
The Green Bay Packers are into their bye week, and they are undefeated at the risk of initiating the Lake Effect curse. This sort of feels like a team of destiny at this point.
Yeah. May your curse not have the same effect as that of Billy Goats in Wrigley Field.
And we'll get to that.
But, yeah, some folks are actually a little surprised that they're undefeated, given the amount of injuries that they've had to play through and the fact that their offense, while acceptable, hasn't been that extraordinary in recent weeks. One of the big reasons they're still undefeated is because their defense has been so much better than people expected. I think we sat in these very chairs 1 or 2 months ago and said that the Green Bay Packers have a defense that you are not expecting to win games. You're just hoping that they keep you in games enough so that the offense can go out and win.
We're expecting a lot of shootouts.
Well, that's right, and that shows you how smart we are. And a lot of other folks, too, because it's been almost the opposite. The offense has been playing well enough to win games, and the defense has really been securing those games. I mean, their last game, it took a last-second play at the goal line for the Packers defense to secure the win.
Well, and so let's talk about that game, because the Chargers quarterback, Philip Rivers, threw for more than 500 yards in that game. They only scored 20 points.
That is one of the weirdest stats I've ever seen in a football game. Now, I've seen players throw for 500 yards and lose, but it's usually with 30 and 40 points, and they're on the wrong end of a shootout. You got to really try hard to throw for 500 yards and only score 20 points. When you think about it, you've gone five lengths of the football field through the air, to say nothing of what you've done on the ground. So theoretically, you should get into the end zone five times. Now, of course, turnovers play a part, but, you know, 20 points, you scored four times, you know, two touchdowns and two field goals.
Right.
But yeah, that's really where. So it's basically going back to the concept of the bend but don't break defense, right?
There's a lot of room between those goal lines.
That's true. And the Packers used every single bit of it. I realize that a 500-yard passing performance doesn't exactly shine a great spotlight on your defense. Only allowing 20 points does shine a good spotlight on your defense, and they haven't played like that in previous games either. And if you're looking for a weakness on the Packers, it's probably still their pass defense.
Does the Chargers' 500 yards of passing offense give other teams a blueprint to work from in some way?
I certainly think that if you're going to attack the Packers' defense, you're going to try to do it through the air first. And that's still because, you know, for as well as they've played, the secondary is still relatively inexperienced, certainly when it comes to playing together. Look, HaHa Clinton-Dix has turned into a pretty good player. And the cornerbacks, particularly the young cornerbacks, have performed pretty well. But I still think, you know, the strength of the defense to this point, surprisingly so, has been the defensive line. And they've still gotten pretty good linebacking play. They're getting really good pressure on the quarterback, which is actually helping out the secondary a lot. Now, one of the reasons Rivers was able to have such good success is because the Packers didn't get to him because he had such a quick release. He was really reading the defense well and getting
rid of the
ball.
A lot of very short passes.
Exactly. He was getting rid of the ball really quick, too quick that they couldn't get to him, even though they still had a pretty good pass rush.
So they have this bye week. They'll have a big test when they return from the bye. They'll play the thus far undefeated Denver Broncos. Is that an undefeated team of the same caliber as the Packers?
I would say the Packers are actually somewhat better than the Denver Broncos. Now, look, the Broncos have been doing it with kind of the same
94-year-old quarterback.
Peyton Manning, old, not quite that old. But they've been using a similar blueprint. You know, you expect the Broncos to be this offensive juggernaut. but they haven't been at all. Their defense is absolutely the best in the league. Wade Phillips, the former head coach in Houston, and he actually was the former head coach of the Broncos many years ago, came in and took over the defense for the Broncos and has been doing really, really amazing work. Peyton Manning, his age is showing. It really is. The age and the injuries have absolutely caught up. He does not look like the same quarterback that he was, and it's really coming down to his arm strength. He can't get the ball downfield, certainly not with accuracy anymore. But he's still perhaps the smartest quarterback who's ever played the game. He knows offense probably better than any quarterback who's played the game. So you can't write him off completely. So even though I think the Packers are the better team and have performed better, I still don't think it's a walkover. It should be actually a pretty good game to watch.
All right. The Milwaukee Bucks are edging closer to opening day next week. But this past week, the news was not so much about how they'll look on the court, but rather how some in the community view them off the court. One of their young stars, John Henson, had a pretty unpleasant experience.
Yes, and I'm sure many of your listeners are well aware of this. But the quick recap is he went to a jewelry store in Whitefish Bay, Schwanke Kasten, and was basically denied service. They locked the door on him. And even after they called the cops and the cops told them this is a Milwaukee Bucks player, they still asked the cops to stick around while Henson browsed.
And the cops, to their credit, refused.
Absolutely. The cops went away. It's a horrible experience for anybody to go through. If you're an NBA player, if you're Joe off the street, of any color, nobody of any color, of any race, of any creed would want to go through that. I credit John Henson for calling attention to this and not going away in silence. I understand there were some mitigating circumstances on behalf of the jewelers. They had been the target of robberies in the past. They believed there was the car that Henson was driving looked similar to a car of people who had been acting suspiciously before. I understand being on guard. Once you know that this is not somebody coming to rob you, it is John Henson of the Milwaukee Bucks, to ask the police to still stick around, to me, smacks of a bridge too far. What I do like is how it was resolved on both parties. I like how John Henson handled it. I thought he handled it very professionally and with a lot of class, which doesn't surprise me one bit. I know John Henson. He's one of the best people you'll meet in professional sports. The jewelers apologized. The owner apologized right away, appeared to be genuinely sorry, which is good. John Henson is going to do some things down the road with regards to awareness and education of this issue. And frankly, I would hope that the jewelers would do something very similar. The best thing that can come of this, and it was a dark mark on our city, is for something good to come of it, for education to come of it, and for people to learn lessons so that it happens less frequently in the future.
Aside from the off-court stuff, how do the Bucks look with their opener coming up in just a few days?
Yeah, with them putting this behind them, the good news is that it shouldn't overshadow what is going to be a pretty exciting night in Milwaukee and a pretty exciting season for the Milwaukee Bucks. I can't recall the last time there was this much excitement and anticipation for a Milwaukee Bucks team heading into this season. Jason Kidd is still here. Jabari Parker is back. Oh, he probably won't be playing in the opener. Same for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who won't be playing in the opener. But they'll be back soon. And they've combined them with a big free agent signing in Greg Monroe. Chris Middleton should pick up where he left off. How are we going to see Michael Carter-Williams, the new point guard, develop? So a lot of excitement for this Milwaukee Bucks team, and it's going to be a fun story to watch for the season.
Hopefully we'll have some great basketball to talk about the next time we talk.
Absolutely.
Okay, a couple of quick hits. After the Cubs cruised into the National League Championship Series, their fans seemed awfully confident, considering their team had not actually been to a World Series since 1945, and they were rewarded with a sweep at the hands of the New York Mets. Well, first of all, your thoughts on the relative brevity with which the Cubs stuck around.
I expected more of them in the League Championship Series. I didn't expect them to win. I thought the Mets were probably going to edge by on their pitching. The Cubs really got to where they are by riding a lot of their hot young hitters and the arm of Jake Arrieta. And Arrieta finally proved he was human, and the young hitters finally stopped hitting the ball to the moon. you know, Kyle Schwarber in particular, who almost hit one to the moon. Right. But look, if you're a Cubs fan, I know a century plus a few years is a long time to wait. And I know you had high hopes for the Back to the Future prophecy to come true, and it didn't. But the good news is, and it's bad news for Brewers fans, is that the Cubs probably are the best young team in baseball right now, and they have the payroll to add to it. This is not the last you'll see of the Chicago Cubs in the postseason, so long as the Cubs don't have to face Daniel Murphy, who is the Babe Ruth of the New York Mets, in the postseason. That's just such an odd thing, because for folks who don't know, the Billy Goat curse that the Cubs have been under the shadow of for so many years, the goat's name was Murphy. And now a guy named Murphy, who's basically average player, suddenly becomes Babe Ruth by hitting home runs in six consecutive games in the postseason. Go figure, baseball.
Well, and finally, before we go, we should reference some of the best figure skaters in the world are in Milwaukee as we have this conversation. Olympians from around the world for probably the biggest figure skating event that has ever been here.
Yeah, pretty cool thing, and not as a pun for the ice, but an event of this magnitude for figure skating has never been in Milwaukee. And you're right, these are the best of the best from our country and, you know, from elsewhere. And if you've really sat down at any Olympic event or, you know, and watched these folks do it on TV, I have to imagine it's that much better watching them in person, you know, the spins and the throws and the lifts and all that. So really a great opportunity for folks to get out and see something different at a very high level.
Howie, I won't ask you to tell us the difference between a Lutz and a Loop, but
I think it has to do with what letters they end with.
Thanks.
Sure.
Howie Magner is managing editor of Milwaukee Magazine, and he writes about sports on the Sports Nut blog. He's also our regular sports contributor.